This time, let's just look to the Lord in prayer. So, Lord, bless your word to our hearts and glorify your name through your word. We say thanks in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. You know, I thought of asking you this morning if anybody ever tried drawing near to you. And even if you at the start you thought this was the right person to draw near to you. As they draw closer and things start reveal, you realize that no, sir, this one not gonna work. Hello? You ever feel that way yet? No, man, never stay far from the wire. As they draw near, you realize, I'm a good smaddy. What is being revealed to you, tell us that I'm a good smaddy. And I write somebody this to draw near to you. I'm not necessarily talking about wife, husband. I'm just talking about somebody that's drawing near to you. And as they draw near, realize that, boy, I don't really mean you no good. Or they don't mean you well, if you want to say it properly. That this person have some ulterior motive. You realize they're selfish. You realize that something they want. You realize that something they're up to. And they really mean you're no good at all. And I say, You begin to draw from the person and put a stop to it, I tell you something this morning. We know a person. We know somebody who wouldn't draw close to me. The closer they draw to me, the more we know they mean me good. His name is Jesus. Talk to me, the church. The closer they get to me, the more we know they're the right person. And this is the man who must draw close to me. This is the right relationship. Because the more he come and reveal himself to me, the more we know say that he's a good man to have a relationship with. Hello, church. I don't know if you feel that way. But the truth is, as I draw close to Jesus, as Jesus draws close to me, I begin to feel more and more that Christ is real and is wonderful. And I believe that as God reveals more and more who Christ is to us, the better we feel about this relationship that we have with God in Christ Jesus, and the more we feel like proclaiming the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for us. Amen, church. Now, God has a way of revealing himself in and through scripture. And God, in the gospel account of John, gives us a kind of revelation that says much about Jesus. John, he writes his gospel different from the others. He's the last one to have written the gospel, so we have read. And he wrote his gospel at a time where, in a context and at a time, when there were all kinds of doubt and all kinds of ism and schism as it relates to who Jesus is. And people were having all kinds of misunderstanding. So John would have written, being a disciple of Jesus, and maybe the only one who lived to a ripe old age, to the extent that he would have written the gospel according to John, he written 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he would have written Revelation as well. He was the only one who lived to an age that they could call him elder. Elder not only in terms of his position in church, but elder in terms of his age as well. And so John would have learned a whole heap from being with Christ, but would have reflected on these things over the years and would have received more revelation from God. And so John writes his gospel much different from the others. In fact, Mark, he just jumps right into it and says nothing much about how Jesus came. He just starts to talk about his preaching. But Matthew and Luke would have given us some things about the manger and the shepherd and all of those things. But John just gets straight into it in a philosophical way and says to us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, you know, that kind of thing. That was the context he was writing in. And it was used this word that Jews and Greek would understand in different ways, which I won't get into. But in the long run, he was trying to get them to see Jesus as the Word of God was from the beginning, creating things and now coming to the world to bring light to the world and to be a life changer for human beings. in a sense. So as I share with you this morning about proclaiming God's revelation about Christ Jesus, it's really about telling you or reminding you in some cases about what God has revealed about Christ Jesus with intention like John, so that you might come to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and by knowing this, that you may experience life in and through Christ Jesus. Not just life, but abundant life, greater life, more meaningful life and purposeful life in and through Christ Jesus. And so it is my hope that as I share with you this morning, that God, through his revelation, will help you to experience even greater life, more meaningful life in and through Christ Jesus. Now, there are several things that are revealed there that has been proclaimed by John that the Holy Spirit has led me to proclaim also to you, to myself and to you. And as we read it, there are some of the things that we'll pick up. That the revelation is that Jesus Christ is creator. The revelation is that Jesus Christ is illuminator. And the revelation is that Jesus Christ is life-giver. Life-giver. It changes life. Life-changer, really. It brings changes to our life. Now, let's look at those very quickly and see what the message is for each of us here today. First of all, there's a revelation that Jesus Christ is creator. That Jesus Christ is one with the Father and one with the Spirit in creation. So, you would read in Genesis, let us make, let us, there's always that plural, let us. For it is suggesting that even though God is one God, God reveals himself in three persons, in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that Jesus Christ is the second person in that Trinity that has been sent into the world to bring salvation, to reveal God in his fullness unto human beings. It's like a story that tries to say what this is all about. Like a story about a man who was feeding some wild birds, and no matter how he fed them, he could not get close to them. Every time he tried to get close to them, they flew away because they were wild birds. And then the man thought to himself, the only way I can become like one of these is become, the only way I can get close to one of these is become like one of them. I've become like a bird. And the story really says it all. What does it say? That as God tried over the years to get us to get close to him, to get us from being wild and stay far from him, the only way that God could get us to come close to us is by becoming like one of us. The Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. So it's really God's ultimate revelation of himself. And anything you see in Jesus is really what God is all about. Anything that is revealed by Jesus is really who God is, really. As God became flesh in Christ Jesus and came among us. But this one who became flesh was creator. Creator. He created all things. It says it all in verse 1 to 3. That he created all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now what I find interesting is when I read Colossians 1 especially, that it reveals that God is not only creator of visible things, but also creator of invisible things. Check verse 16, for example, of Colossians chapter 1. It's creator of visible and invisible things. And I wrestled with it a little bit and asked God what he wants me to emphasize. And he says to me that the one who is creator is the one with the authority. The one with the authority. The authority. For he is the one with the right to use power. And that's what authority means. So he can use his power to do what is best. Not only for you, but for me and for all of us. Use his power to do that which is his will, according to his will and purpose. What God works in our best interest as he does so. That is the one who creates, and he's the one who then can destroy. Who is the one who determines whether we live or die, whether we are here or there, is the one who determines how we live our life. That is the one who reveals to us exactly what he wants us to do. And he's the one that we should obey, for he's the one with the authority, for he is creator. Now, God said this little thing to me, and I want to say it before I make the application and move on. That, and it reminds me of when I was a little boy and used to make toys for myself. And one of the things I would make was a toy truck. You know, some trucks out of toys. Board and cut out wheel and that kind of thing. And he said to me that when you made that truck, whose truck was it? I said, the truck was mine. That I have authority over that truck. I decide what I do with that truck. I decide whether that truck stays a truck or was destroyed and broken to pieces. I determine that, eh? For I was the one who have the right to that truck and to do what I wanted to do with that truck. I says, that is it. That if I'm creator, I have the right to the people I create. I have the right to the things that I create. I have the right to determine what is done with what I've created. And so he's the one with the authority to do what he is in his best interest, and in our best interest as well. For he, God, is creator, therefore the one with the authority. It suggests, therefore, that he has authority over you and everything that happens to you. He's the authority over you and which direction he wants you to go in. He has the authority. It does not say that you can't resist his authority. For he gives you the freedom of choice to resist his authority. But you know that the consequence of resisting can be grave and can be great. And so it gives you that power as well. And what power? The power of choice to decide whether or not you want to do what he wants you to do or to do what you feel like doing. And so I want to say this very clearly, that the devil cannot make you sin. You choose to resist God's authority and go under the authority of the devil and choose to sin. So when you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, God's word was spoken based on God's authority. He said to them that I have the right to tell you what to touch and what not to touch, because I create you and I create the plants, I create the trees. So he said, man, I give you a whoop of wonderful trees for food. They not only taste good, but they look good. You can eat up everyone, but there's a tree in the middle of the garden that you must not touch. You must not eat, lest you die. Now, the devil have a way of deceiving people, for the devil already know that his destiny is sealed. Read Matthew chapter 25, and you see, his destiny is sealed. That God already created for him a place of burning fire, the abyss, hell. Not created for human beings, but created for the devil. But we can be deceived by him. For he wants to deceive us so that we also share that destination with him. But we can only go there if we decide to come from under the authority of God and go under the authority of the devil. In other words, we decide that we'll say no to God and yes to the devil. We decide when God says run, we don't run, we don't stand up. Or if God says jump, we don't jump, we stand still. And when the devil says jump, we jump. And when the devil says run, we run. Therefore, you don't subject yourself to God's authority as the creator. The devil did not create you. No power of darkness has the power to create. Only God has that power. Therefore, who should you believe? Whose authority should you obey? Whose word should you obey? Who should you listen to? Is it the powers of darkness? Or is it God? I believe that God wants me to say to you, he's created, therefore, the one with the authority to determine your destiny. Therefore, you have to listen to him and obey him, for he determines your destiny. He decides what happened to you. So you can spend all your life living in sin and doing what the devil wants to do. But in the final analysis, the devil has no say in where you go. It is God who has a say in where you go, for he is creator and therefore is the one with the authority. Well, you know, the Lord wants me to say that to you. So he has your destiny is his hand, because he has the authority to determine where you go. But I want to say this to you as well, that there are many things in this world and many persons in this world who behave like they have the authority over your life and can determine your destiny. But I just want to say to you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. There are some people who want to run your life for you. There are some things that come into your life that take control of your life and make it feel like this is the final say in this matter. including sickness, including problem, including circumstances that you find yourself in. They seem that you want to dictate what your destiny is. Not only persons, but realities and circumstances, including rough times and tough times and difficult situations. If you're not careful, you bow to the pressure. For it seems like they want to determine your destiny. But you have to tell yourself and tell the situation or circumstance of the person that only one person of authority, for only one person is creator. He alone determines your destiny. So if sickness says no, God will say yes. If circumstances say no, I believe God is saying yes. And when God says yes, nothing can say no. When God says yes, no sickness, no reality, no circumstance can say no. For God has the final say in all matters. For He's creator. He's the one with the authority to determine your destiny. Nothing more or nothing less. I think that's the word. First and foremost. The Lord just wants me to say to you quietly before we move on. Don't believe in the lie from the devil. Don't believe any lie that the devil is telling you now about your circumstance. I don't think you get that. I said, don't believe any lie the devil is telling you right now about your reality. Because right now he might be telling you you can't fix. He might be telling you that you're hopeless. He might be telling you that it's done for. He might be telling you that nothing can work out. You just can't fix. But anything that you're hearing that is not of God right now, I want you to just rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And tell yourself that anything that God say yes to, nothing or nobody can say no to. For God has a final say in all matters. For He determines your destiny. He is creator and of authority over all matters. So even if it is something that is invisible, remember that God created invisible things also. If it's something you can't see that is impacting upon your life, you feel like God can't deal with it, it's a lie. God can't deal with any matter. I don't know what is the matter with in your life right now, but I want you to hear this morning. The devil is a liar from the pit of hell. God is truth. Full of grace and truth, He reveals Himself as. And a lie that nothing can be done about your circumstances. It's a lie that nothing can be done about your situation. God will fix it. God has a final say. No human being, no power of darkness, no evil force, no visible things, no invisible things, but God alone. For He has the final say in all matter. He is creator. Therefore, He has authority over all things. Somebody praise God. I want to get that, but I want to also get a second thing. Well, that is what is revealed, and I want to proclaim that. But I also want to proclaim this revelation as well. That God is not only creator, but God is illuminator. As I read the passage from verse 4 to verse 9, you see a lot of being said about God being light, illuminator, one who shines light, illuminator, shines light. So when you read verse 1 to 3 and verse 14, you see what God is creator. But verse 4 to 9 is illuminator. He shines light. In other words, He brings clarity. Wow. He brings clarity. I said, Lord, where are we going with this now? Clarity. You make sure that light comes into the world. Now, in reading, we also read from Isaiah 61. Anybody remember what it says? Arise and shine, for the light is come. It's a prophecy about Jesus to come, eh? For the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The people of God were going through a dark period for years. We're going through darkness. No light. Darkness suggests that they were hopeless. They felt a sense of hopelessness. For all kinds of things were happening to them. But then Isaiah prophesied that arise and shine, for the light is come, for the glory. That what was darkness and suggesting hopelessness, it will be passed away, will be dispelled, and light shall come. And the greatest light that God has shined is revealed in and through Christ Jesus, who comes to the world as light himself. Light himself. Now I want us to just join a little bit more. For when you read, for example, Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus himself declares that I am the light of the world who came to rescue you from darkness. From darkness. Then, as I read on, for example, in the same Gospel of John, and go to John chapter 3. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and Jesus talked about darkness as a part of what he was saying to Nicodemus. When you read in verse 19 of John chapter 3, the same John, it tells us there's one verdict for those who don't come to light. And the verdict is that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their ways are evil. For the truth is that if you come into the light, then your darkness shall be dispelled and you will stay in the light. Now, I find that interesting because Nicodemus did come to Jesus by night. And therefore, Jesus died without any kind of real clarity coming to the life of Nicodemus. He was still halting even between two opinions, even as he wrestled with coming into the light to come to where Jesus, everybody could know that he would want a relationship with Jesus, for he thought it was too much to lose. Now, the Lord shines light, first of all, for us to see ourselves for who we are. See that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Sinners in need of a Savior. For we can't ourselves really sometimes see that we are in darkness. For we can think that we are in, we can be in darkness but think that we are in light. For sometimes we get confused. We're not sure. But God in and through Christ Jesus does what? He helps us to see ourselves for who we are. To see that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that we cannot save ourselves, but we need Jesus to save us. So he came into the world as light, so that we may see that we are in darkness and come into the light, who is him. And so one of the things that John was expected to do was to tell the world that he himself was not the light, but he was a proclaimer. He came to give proclamation, to reveal to the world that Jesus is light, and in Jesus there's no darkness at all. And that anyone that comes into the light will see himself for who he really is. But you know, as I wrestled with it, you know, the Lord said to me that sometimes you're going through some difficult situations and there's no clarity. You're not sure. You're not sure what to do. You're not sure where to turn. You're not sure where to go. But God has a way of bringing light to your situation, so you can have greater clarity as to the direction in which God wants you to go. Now, how do you see the light? You have to keep trusting him, talking to him, reading his word, talking to him, and allow him to talk back to you. To talk back to you even as you read his word. You have to pray to him. And so as you read his word and pray to him, he will give you a sense of direction. He will bring clarity to your life. And he says to me that there are some persons right now who are in a state of confusion. You don't know exactly where you stand. You're not sure if you should turn left, not right, not top, not bottom. You're not sure. But he says that he is light. He comes to bring clarity to your circumstances. He comes to bring clarity to your situation. And if you only trust him, come out of darkness and come into his light, he will clarify your life and clarify your way and clarify your reality and clarify your circumstances. Now, darkness is not a good thing. For you can be in darkness in the middle of the day if you don't know Jesus. You didn't hear that. I say you can still be in darkness in the middle of the day if you don't know Jesus. If you find some time, read. Read from Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, about verse 19, therefore, and going on. Now, every time I read this passage, I think about a very wicked man that I knew when I was in St. Mary. Wicked man. When I say wicked, the man was a man who called himself Wobia man. And doing all kind of nonsense. And one of the things that the same used to do was to dig up grave. Go in the grave and take out the dead man born and do all kind of foolishness. And I used to see these graves sometimes, like somebody going to them. I wonder, I never see him yet, but you know, I wonder if it was him who did these things. And I used to see the two who opened the place empty sometimes. A lot of that used to happen when I was growing up. I work for them, don't accept me just to claim some of my man. When I see them, I run them. Where? Because they can't do me nothing. Come to church. Because I'm in a light. And no darkness can overcome light. So they can't do me nothing. But you know what I remember about him? I remember this man in his old days. There's a crossroad near Friendship Crossroad. Big square. Big square. We have about four different roads or some would meet right there. And I saw the man walking one day in the middle of the road. And a hole. A fire way. And the man have a buckle torch. Anybody know a buckle torch? In a 12 o'clock a day, middle day in my hand. And me hear the man ask the boy, how the place are dark? Me can't see. Every time I read Isaiah 59, I say, boy, I remember that man. Because the people who live in darkness of sin, they walk in the day and grow up. In the middle of the day, they walk and grow up like they're in darkness. And there are some people in the world who like that, and there are some who don't get there yet, but will get there. For if God is not in your life, all in the middle of the day, you shall be seeing darkness. For darkness is not just about physical darkness, it's about spiritual darkness. That you see sin and call sin good. You see light and call dark light darkness. I see darkness and call darkness light. For God is not in your life. So there's no clarity, there's confusion. Your reality is one of confusion. And even when you reach certain age, you begin to talk all kind of something. Let me not careful people have a tire from out. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You begin to go on like a boss, you're a boss, but you're not a boss, but nothing good, son of a boss. You make people feel shame. And you have to watch yourself, you don't want to reach that stage in life. You want God to take control of your life right now. So that God can fix your life and clarify your darkness. So you can see clearly. I believe that there's somebody here this morning that God wants to clarify the darkness in your life. The uncertainty, the confusion, and make your situation one of light. So you can see clearly to know where you're going. Just allow Jesus to take control. And it will clarify the darkness of your life. May make you see yourself for who you are. Make you come to the place that you should be. And make your life more meaningful and purposeful. That's why it shines its light. But there's a final thing. A final thing. I believe that he wants to tell that he's a life changer. Life changer. It changes your story. And as I read verse 12 in particular, it could be from verse 10 to verse 12. But verse 12 tells us in particular that if you confess that Jesus is the Christ, really, you will be changed and transformed and become more like Jesus. Eh? That you shall be called a child of God, a son of God. Eh? If you really admit that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you shall experience transformation that makes you into a child of God. A life changer. You are no longer who you used to be. But you become who God wants you to be. If you come into the light of Jesus. It changes your life to make you exactly who God has created you to be. I believe that Jesus wants to be a life changer in somebody's life this morning. He wants you to be called Son of God, Child of God. He wants you to take on the very nature of God. He wants to take on the very nature of God so that you become who God really and truly wants you to be. I believe then this morning that is shedding light upon you through the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. For he wants you not to reject him. For he came on his own and his own did not receive him. He came to those persons in the world who are supposed to be people who shed light. But they rejected him. But he comes to all of us today, expecting us to receive him. For as many as receive him, to them he gives power to become sons of God, daughters of God, children of God. He changes your nature and makes you brand new. And 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says it beautifully. Any man be in Christ is a? All things are, and behold, all things are become. So what do I mean that is a life changer? Why, there are lots of things that come to my mind. Is a life changer suggest that it can change your story? And the Lord revealed to me how many persons' story he changed. And he asked me to start with the woman with the issue of blood. For many years, she was sick and nobody could help her. But she just touched the hem of his garment and her story changed. No longer was she a woman with an issue of blood, but a woman whose blood issue dried up and a woman who could praise God for what God has done for her. You want me to tell you more? You know the stories. That the woman of Samaria, later on in chapter 4, that she was ostracized, pushed aside, criticized, downsized. But then she came and met Jesus. Met Jesus as the Messiah. And she was no longer afraid to go to a community. No longer afraid of anybody. But she would go there and proclaim Jesus. Come see a man who told me all things. Is not this the Christ? I said that God reveals him as life changer. The man named blind Bartimaeus was there blind and begging. Everybody come and maybe criticize him. Everybody would come maybe and say all kind of things maybe about him. The man was there hopeless and helpless. But then one day, the life changer was passing. It's when he heard and he said, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. This man who used to be a roadside begging became a follower of Jesus. Was no longer a beggar, but he was a disciple of Christ Jesus, a follower of Christ Jesus. I need not tell you more, for there's much more to say. But if you read Isaiah chapter 61, it tells you that when darkness is dispelled by light, then you have changes. You begin to see hopelessness being changing to hope. I'm not here to tell you that everything will be all right, but everything will be all right. Not in the sense that you will not have problem. Not in the sense that things will happen around you, happen to you, but in the sense that you can navigate. In the sense that you can go over hurdles and barriers. For you're not doing it alone. You are doing it with the help of Christ Jesus, who helps you to navigate your circumstances and your situation. For the same God who sent his son Jesus will give you all things. Will not withhold anything from you. But will help you to live your life meaningfully and purposefully. Because you see things differently. So when people see things and begin to, you know, feel down in the midst of it, they say, praise the Lord. Reminds me this morning of what Jarvis said to me. And it reminds me of the sermon we preached at funeral yesterday. That when I called Jarvis, when he texts me, he gave me a voice that I call him. Also certain things, he said to me, Reverend, God is good. He had to go to Montgomery and miss church. He had to go and spend money and fix the vehicle. He's not sure what going to happen. But he said, God is good. And I remember yesterday, we said the psalmist, he knew that God was good. He knew God is good. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's life changer. Eh? That it's not saying that there's not evil in the world. And sometimes things won't get rough. But the Lord is provider and his protector. You know, he ends the psalm by saying, surely, come to church, because God is life changer. Surely, goodness, rough time and tough time, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Tough time, rough time, difficult time, I shall dwell. Come to church, in the house of the Lord, forever. For the Lord changes my hopelessness to hope, my darkness into light, my bad situation into one that I can handle, my difficult journey into one I can navigate. For the Lord changes my story. So no longer am I complaining and about everything, but I am like the songwriter who declares, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. It's because of who Jesus is. Who is he? His creator. As the authority, not in this world, not your circumstance, not your situation, no bull buckard of the conqueror, not the visible or invisible, have any final say in your life. For one creator exists. His name is Jesus. He has authority over all things, and he determines your destiny. Not only is he creator with the authority to determine your destiny, he is also illuminator. He clarifies. He makes you see yourself for who you are and help you when you're in confusion, when things not so clear. He clarifies the way so you can see clearly and know that you are walking in the light and not in darkness. But he is also a life changer. He changes your story. He makes your sad story into a glad story. He makes your crying story into a laughing story. He makes your bad story into a glad story. He makes your darkness into light. He brings clarity to you. So your story will no longer be about complaining about everything. But it shall be, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And no matter what, you shall stand and declare, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.